Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hot Body Dawson, pow pow pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
I forgot my own name there, briefly.
Well, it's bloody hot, and it does start affecting the head, doesn't it?
It does go straight to the head first.
It does, that's where the sun attacks the head first, it's well known for it.
It does. Yeah, and it just dissipates throughout the rest
it's
of the
like
body.
It's like similar to that's how a wolf attacks as well. From the head first.
It
goes head.
It attacks
head,
with the head first.
Heart, feet, balls. That's the way a wolf attacks a man or any other mammal.
Head, heart, keys, wallet, watch.
First, get their fucking head first, then get their wallet. It's the wolf way.
If they've got a watch, get that.
It's the wolf. If they've got a decent watch, get that first. If not, leave it till fourth.
We're history boxing Magic Alex, who was the Beatles. It was John Lennon's guru, as John Lennon described him as. And I'm using the source of 1, 2, 3, 4, The Beatles in Time by Craig Brown.
A book well worth purchasing or getting out from your local library. Best.
Yeah, don't forget libraries
best
still
books
exist.
On the Beatles I've read. I've not read them all, mind you, but I've read a few, and that's the best one.
Good example. Good time to say it. Use libraries because they're still there. And you can also, if you've got e-readers like a Kindle, you can borrow Kindle books from your library. You can look into it. You just need your library card number and you can get set up online and you can borrow Kindle books. Isn't that incredible?
That's great, yeah. Really good. You know,
I think you can also now, I was going to say, you can also get magazines as well out
from the library
through e-readers through your library.
Fucking hell, no wonder the fucking magazine industry's dead.
So, yeah. Well, I use an app called Readly.
Yeah.
Which is something like £8 a month.
You get practically every magazine, don't you?
And all the magazines are on there. I feel really guilty when I use it. It's like the Spotify of magazines.
Well, needs must. You know, it's better than if not, people wouldn't be getting mags at all. I mean, I haven't bought a magazine in years. When I was a kid, I used to fucking spend half my money on magazines. Even when I was an adult, adult.
So I used to devour them. Whenever I'm in London going to the studio in Soho where I record with Bob, I usually come down past... of Oxford Circus Station, and you go in past the Palladium,
I think it is.
The London Palladium.
Great Marlborough Street.
And just on that corner, I can't remember what the street's called, but there's a magazine stall.
I know that it's that one, opposite Carnaby Street,
That's the one. And just looking at it, and you can practically smell the magazines.
Yeah, that's what
it
used to be like
incredible.
In magazine shops. Like, you could smell it, you'd almost taste it. Sometimes I would lick magazines, and often I'd be asked to leave. Mm-hmm. But they were like being in big sweet shops back in the day. And it's interesting because mags are no less beautiful than they were back then. But it just isn't in... I don't even glance. I used to glance at the covers and look at the fucking cover lines and, you know, sort of try to absorb it all. But now it's just
there were more
that
were devoted to people like us back then. And
I'll tell you what one of the reasons
anymore is,
Andy... I've got... There's too much fucking information as it is. So when I'm samming about on the streets...
Yeah.
I will be trying to avoid more data. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever feel like that? It's like...
Yeah.
You've got too much data. And what's really nice is trying... Is when you're engaged in something where you're not absorbing any data. So, like, you're Sam in about or Andy in about, and it's like you've already been at home and you might have had the radio on, putting data in your ears, and then you've been looking at social media and other, you know, sources on your phone or your Kindle or your what do they call them? The iPad? Fucking hell.
The iPad, they call them the iPad.
No, but what's the generic term for iPads?
The tablet and other devices through which you can access information.
The information superhighway.
Yeah.
Oh, here I go. Whee! I'm on the information superhighway again. Full speed ahead.
Whiz bang.
Toot-toot.
Yahoo. Yeah, and it's just like when you're walking about, you don't have to do that. And if I see a fucking poster or a magazine, I'm like, oh, I've got to fucking avoid that because my head's already full of too much fucking information as it is. I can't make head nor tail of it. There's just too much shit everywhere. There's too much stimulus. It's not good for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I'm trying to cut down. I don't know about you, Andy, but as I get older, I'm trying to cut down on my stimulus. Are you?
Well, it helps, doesn't it? Too much can just overexcite you. It
makes me feel fucking nauseous sometimes.
I've put the Kindle app next to the Twitter app.
Yeah, that's good. I remember you saying that. That's a brilliant idea.
So sometimes I think I'm going to go on Twitter and just waste some time.
Mm.
I'll just do a little deviation to the right and just press the Kindle button instead. And read a good book, because that's good for you. An improving book will improve your mind.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. And we're looking at a book here. We've come full circle. We're looking at the book, the chapter about Magic Alex and the Beatles in time. John brought Magic Alex to Paul's house and said, "This is my new guru, Magic Alex." And Paul says, "These were happy-go-lucky times when skepticism was outlawed. We didn't call anyone's bluff. It would have been too aggressive," because it was all love and peace, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great, man. Well, got yourself a guru.
That's interesting, because that would have been a fucking playground for the grifter, wouldn't it?
Completely,
like,
yeah.
Now, I would say things the other way. Like,
Alex moved
no in. One can do anything without some fucking cynical cunt going, grift, on the make. Whereas then... But people will still grift anyway, even in a hostile environment like today's. Back then, they were going, whatever you say you are, that's what you are. Manifest your identity. So you can go, I'm a guru, and I've got special electronic powers. And people go, fine, if that's what you say you are, that is what we will accept you as.
I look forward to seeing and enjoying them. It says, John regarded Alex as a genius and sought to reward him accordingly. First in May 1966, John was at Kenwood, which I think was John's house, wasn't it, in the countryside?
Yeah.
With his old friend, Pete Shotton. When he suddenly remembered, the following day was Alex's birthday. Fuck me, he said. Magic Alex is coming around tomorrow and I haven't even got anything for him. What can I give him, Pete? A fucking birthday present for him.
You don't think of John Lennon things like that, but it's nice to in that era, maybe when he was younger, but in that era where he's like, living in Kenwood, holed up in his fucking Surrey gated community.
It's me mate's birthday tomorrow.
Maybe I'll go to the box shop.
You know,
some box shops also sell other things, like sometimes travel, Yahtzee, or a little Jenga. Or something like that. Or sometimes small cuddly toys or novelty bookmarks.
I could just get him a book token and he could choose whatever he wants. He could get a book about science and like, just.
If you go away, you sort of, your kids, do your kids expect a gift if you've been away?
Of course they do.
Yeah. So I've trained them off of that. Like when we go on tour, for instance, they used to be a bit like, what'd you get me? And now I'm like, they're older now, and I'm a bit like, I got you fuck all. That's it, right?
Fuck off.
And I'm not apologetic. If I'm apologetic, I'm really sorry, I didn't have time. Then they'll fucking prey on me, and they'll manipulate me. So now I'm just like, but I've been away for a few days with my missus. I said, we've been abroad, and it's the two of us. We left them back home. I think they probably will be expecting something. But obviously, we left it to the airport, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking around the airport. It's not that is the funniest. If you go through, you know, the very, very final shop just before you walk out to like arrivals gate.
Yeah.
and like it's they do one final, like if you're a complete useless cunt, is some bottles of gin and some massive Toblerones for the last minute cunt.
Some luggage tags.
Or like a big one of those M&M geezers. You know, the M&Ms that have faces.
With M&Ms in.
And then like you buy one of them and you open it up and there's like a couple of bags of M&Ms inside.
One bag.
That's like that is proper last minute cunt stuff. And I'd rather bring nothing than something that is obviously been bought at the last minute cunt stop, right?
Well, I think I've told you before, when you come out through the arrivals at Newcastle Airport and you go directly to your left, there's a Greggs.
Oh, so you can get, you could get them like a sausage roll.
Yeah. I mean, that's perfect. You've been abroad, you've missed out on the northeast cuisine, you come back through arrivals, there's your Greggs. Get stuck in. It's 24 like hours as well.
Some people get back and they have to spark up a fag straight off the plane, don't they? But some northeasterners get off the plane and they feel the same about getting a steak slice.
I guess sausage roll.
Yeah. Anyway, what we did was I said to my missus, look at all this shit. It's either sweet, it's either sugar or some bullshit flammable fucking cuddly toy, which they're too old for anyway, and we'd have to dress it up as an ironic present. And I went... And she went, maybe she should get nothing. And I said, no, I think it's better if we get them a brazenly crap present. That's like, we're not even pretending it's not crap. So we got them some chewing gum. But it was Danish chewing gum. Like, they had Wrigley's Extra, which my kids do like. They're fans of Wrigley's Extra. They see it as a treat brilliantly, right? But this was Danish, and it was in... kind of unusual flavours, but it was only small. It was like, you know, whatever, fucking 30 pence packet of chewing gum each,
regular size.
I think one was raspberry and the other one was wild cherry. I haven't given it to them yet, right. But I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to give it a massive build up. I'm going to go, kids, I've got so good presents, everyone gather around, and they'll shoot. They won't come if you call them unless they think there's something really good material. So I'll fucking smoke them out of their fucking pits.
Yeah.
And they'll run down, and then I'll do a massive reveal that I'll build up to for ages, and it'll be two packets of fucking chewing gum. There you go, cunts. One's raspberry, one's wild cherry. You can fight over them.
I was going to say, have you not got them one of each flavour? It's just...
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly.
That could end in tears.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I don't know why. I mean, usually on your way home from holiday, you should be thinking, oh, I really miss them. Oh, I can't wait to get back and see their faces. But something about, I don't know, maybe I was in a bad mood because it was an early flight. I was actually thinking, nah, fuck them.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you think I could do this for a bit longer away from the kids.
Yeah.
You know, you think you've been there for a couple of days, and maybe five or six would have been
better. Well, like you, now they're at the age where it's not them I'm worried about, it's the dog. So I realised on this trip that really, because I'd asked my niece to come round, but my niece is like 30. My niece and her fella, who is a Geordie, but that's fine, I didn't mind. Yeah. I said, you know, just don't get gravy everywhere, I said. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, of course.
Right, because he does make a lot of gravy when he's here, but it's fine.
I haven't got any Sam Fender albums, so don't go looking for them. There isn't any hidden.
So I go, he comes, so I asked him to stay, but it was only because of the dog, right? If not, my kids can look after themselves. So it's another moment where you think, oh, we were just out of the woods with the kids. We were just at the point where the kids were self-policing, and that was the point we bought the dog. So now, if we're planning to go, because on the way back, I was so buzzing off Denmark. I was like, I think we should go again this summer. It's really, really cheap place to go, Denmark, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's expensive when you get there, but what I mean is flying there and stuff is cheap, right? So I'm like, we should go again. But then it's like, oh, fuck. Fucking dog. So, I mean, I love the dog and I miss the dog. But yeah, it presents a logistical challenge that you maybe hadn't thought through fully, despite warnings from close colleagues.
Yeah. I'm on this. I've just recently signed up for this site called Borrow My Dobby.
Yeah, I'm on that.
Oh, you're on that as well?
Yeah, but I haven't...
Are you borrowing dogs on it or lending them out?
I'm trying to lend mine out, but I haven't done it yet. I haven't plucked up the courage.
Yeah, because I kind of need someone to like take Oscar now and again, and maybe for a holiday as well. Because he doesn't cope well at the dog hotel where there's other dogs there. I think he's a bit frightened of massed gangs of other dogs.
Yeah,
I think he's better in a house where there's just one other one. Maybe.
Well, didn't he get tricked into doing separate gangs, and he got tricked into joining Nation of Islam in order to for protection?
He did, yeah,
but then he wasn't comfortable with the religious side of it, and.
And they wouldn't let him leave.
And then my mate's dog... Well, you remember my brother put his dog into kennels just when his wife went on holiday? Do you remember that?
That's right, yeah. Just right. To get some time to himself, yeah.
That was when he got a Chinese every night for a week. He put the dog into kennels and got a Chinese takeaway every single night for a whole week from the same place. And a bottle of Co-op wine.
Yes, me again, yeah. And...
Best week of my fucking life. Dog, soon as I waved her up at the airport, dog looked up at me, I said, right, you're for the fucking kennels. I put him in the kennel, I went straight to the co-op, stocked up on wine, and then I've ordered my first of 7 Chinese dinners.
If I pre-order 7 dinners for 7 nights, do I get a discount?
The order will not change. It will be the same items I require every night. I require them delivered
at the same time
every night. So it's very easy for you. It lets you plan ahead, lets you get in all the produce you need. It's a deal that works for both of us. I would expect at least 15% discount across the week. I put my dog in kennels for this. But yeah, when his dog went into kennels, it was made to join a white supremacy gang, which was...
Oh, right, yeah.
They offered him protection. We're offering him protection. There's some nasty gangs in here. You've got...
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind. You don't want to be a freelancer here in a prison like this. It's not a prison, it's a kennel. Yeah, well, whatever you want to call it. You better join up with us. So he goes, all right, I'll join up. Next thing you know, they're making him get a tattoo. And,
yeah, just take advantage, don't they?
They were branding him, apparently.
Easily done.
I don't know if there was sex involved.
Yeah, Magic Alex's...
Yeah.
It's Magic Alex's birthday. Yeah. Fuck me, says John. Magic Alex is coming around tomorrow. I haven't even got anything for him. What can I give him, Pete? Pete had no idea. John remembered that Mardas had purred appreciatively over the expensive Esso Grifo Italian sports car John had bought at the Earls Court Motor Show a week before. Oh, yeah, I bet he did. I bet Magic Alex purred appreciatively over it.
Oh, that's a nice car, You're buying that. Oh, I could fucking murder a car like that.
You should buy that,
John. You should buy it. I tell you what.
I'll borrow it.
You could do some fucking damage in a motor like that. And I'm not talking to fucking lampposts. You know what I'm talking about. That's right, Fanny. Electric Fanny.
Fingering.
You know I'm working on an electric Fanny. Oh, well, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'm going to need like another couple of grand just to finish the prototype. Oh, yeah, no problem. I'll sort that out for you. Only if I get a good go on it. Oh, yeah, I'll let you go first, way before Paul. He won't even know what to do with it, the daft bastard.
It's just made out of modelling clay, and you just wire it up to the mains and it vibrates gently.
Stick a normal double A in it. And it'll fucking go like the fucking clappers.
About 10 minutes. That's all you need, isn't it?
I tell you what, though, John. It's not for the 2-pump pirates amongst us.
It'll blow your knob
off. You need some stamina to ride this pony.
It, at the time, it was the only... I don't know if it's pronounced Esso Grifo, whatever. It was the only one in the UK. Let's give him the fucking ISO then, says John. So they wound great spools of ribbon around the car. Where's John getting ribbon from? Probably the same place he gets his plastic from.
Can we have that ribbon when it's done?
It'll have been somewhere.
In this video, I'm thinking, will there be any ribbon involved? Because I would quite like ribbons to be involved. Maybe send someone out and get some ribbons. And then afterwards, if you're not doing out with the ribbons, I wouldn't mind having them back at my house, if that's all right, back at Kenwood.
I sent my 11s out for some. wound spools of ribbon round it and rounded it off with a big bow. The birthday boy was suitably impressed, recalled Pete Shotton. Fucking hell. But of course, before we'd spoken about when they were going to try and buy an island, a Greek island. That was Alex's idea as well. Mardass's adoption by the Beatles was perfectly timed because they had been advised by their accountants to avoid an excessive tax bill by investing their money in freehold property and retail trading, and they set up a number of companies under the umbrella of Apple Corp, including Apple Records, Apple Films, Apple Retail, which ran their boutique on Baker Street, which of course was a complete and utter disaster. Because people would go in. I think they just end up giving away all the stock at the end.
Yeah. Bit too free love, that, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit. Apple Electronics was given to Alex Mardass to run. And I don't know if this is coincidental or not, but it says by now, John was taking daily doses of LSD.
Oh, God.
Which perhaps left him better equipped to appreciate the full glory of what he called one of those massive, big, sort of computerized laboratories they've been trying to invent for years. That's what Apple Electronics was going to be. A massive, big, sort of computerized laboratory. And that's a quote.
That's
in quote marks.
He's basically describing the Batcave, isn't he, out of Batman?
It's the Batcave. Yeah.
They wanted to make a Beetle Cave.
He's been watching. He's been taking LSD. He's been watching Batman on ITV, and he's thought, "That's what we need."
I'll tell you what. I've been taking a lot of acid, and I've discovered a fantastic television show. It's about a fella who dresses sort of like a bat. Well, he says it doesn't look like much like a bat to me. Not like any bat I've seen. Maybe it's more like the bats they get in America. I don't know. But anyway, he dresses up in a pretty far out costume. And he calls himself Batman. And everything he does, you see, is all to do with bats. So he's Batman, and he drives a car called the Batmobile. And in some episodes, he's got a boat called the Batboat. And even his weapons, when he talks to people, are called like, are shaped like bats. But the best thing is, he's got an underground lair called the Batcave, and it's a massive electronic computerized laboratory. And I've been thinking, Paul, oh, come on, John, we're not going to start dressing as bats. No. I don't want to dress as bats, although it would be quite good. But no, I'm thinking, can't we have a big, massive, big electric computerized laboratory of our own underground? And can we call ourselves Beetlemen and get a Beetlemobile just like him? By the way, though, what he doesn't make pop songs like us. He fights with baddies. All sorts of baddies, like a guy who's dressed up like the Joker off of the cards you get in a deck of cards. Very strange.
I watched one the other day, right, and he was walking up the side of a building. It was incredible. And people kept sticking their heads out the window. It was unreal.
And he's got a mate.
But then Paul said, you know what they've done there, John? They've just filmed it sideways on. He's just walking along like a floor. He's not actually climbing up the building. Oh, fucking hell, Paul.
I had to ask Paul to stop.
Don't spoil it.
You're fucking twisting my mind here. I'm getting scared. So in the end, he stopped talking.
So now I've banned Paul from coming around.
And he's got this, this little fella who's his pal. And he hangs around with him. And he calls him Robin. And he makes him dress up like a little robin, like the kind you see on the trees. And he's all colourful and little, and he wears green tights. And in a way, he looks quite sexy. And it's a bit confusing. And he started to remind me of Ringo. And then I thought, I wonder if Ringo would dress up as a robin or a sparrow for me. And I called him up and asked him, and he just put the phone down.
Jalapeño.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
You just reminded us of one of our early episodes where Batman was talking about the problems inherent in reversing
yeah,
it in the back.
Yeah, that was because we were obsessed with
about running
that
a kiddie
thing
over.
That turns round. Because someone in my area has
like
one
the
of
platform
them.
Thing.
Yeah.
Really?
In fact, there's two houses, like
Lineker,
really posh houses in my area that I've seen, where in their front drive, they've got a huge metal disc, so they can drive frontways into their drive, and then it turns the cunt round. How much money are you got to have to think, I'm going to get fuck reverse it out. It's too risky. Get me a fucking automated turntable out there in the front yard.
Oh, my
Mind
God.
Mind you, mate, I'm pretty
it's
sure
horrible.
That, I mean, I don't like to give too much away about your, like, coordinates, because we don't want to kind of say, but I'm pretty sure that your front driveway has the capacity to house one of those. I think so. I'm sure you showed me it. When you were buying it?
I don't think it has, not quite.
Are you sure?
I don't think so. I could go out and do some measurements later on, but I don't think it has.
Your neighbour goes, you right, mate, what are you doing there? I'm just measuring up, see if I get one of those Batman turntables. I've got a fucking crick in my neck and I cannot fucking look backwards to reverse out anymore.
I enjoy reversing it, I'm really good at it. I'm really good at it.
When you reverse, when you reverse, do you put your left hand, when you're looking behind you, do you put your left hand behind the passenger seat? I do. I don't know why, I just love doing it.
Nah,
it feels,
you know,
professional.
What? It's all mirrors with me.
You don't even
turn? Over my shoulder.
That's really impressive.
Nah, it's all
really
mirrors.
Impressive.
Wing mirrors.
You haven't got any blind spots?
I've got a down.
You any blind spots? Blind spots? Like
what, when I'm reversing
when you're reversing out of the driveway?
I don't reverse out, I reverse in, so then I just go straight out.
Yeah, so then if it's an emergency, and someone goes,
if
Andy,
I
need you
out,
now.
Yeah, like Batman.
You like, can just leap into the car and go, like that.
Yeah, I'm coming. Like that, reverse
you in. You know the osteopath, Rod McDonald, right? I don't know how I can explain this, but my mum's road, right, is a sort of it's like a dead end. It's not quite a cul-de-sac, because there's like her houses, and then there's like some bollards that have just been put in the middle of the street to stop you continuing down the same road, right? So there's a sort of a dead end in the middle of a longer road that my mum's house is behind. So you access it via another road that curves round, right? And when Rod first moved in, started getting his feet under the table, right? He developed this system where he found a very wide part of the road where it was the most efficient for him to do a three-pointer, right, and point the car the right way. Right. But here's the thing that made it funny. It was fucking miles away from the parking space, right? So you'd be driving along, and you still feel like you're, like, 5 minutes from the house, and suddenly he'd stop, and you'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, right? And he'd just he's the sort of cunt, if you ask him a question like that, he just ignores you. Right, because he's like, wait and see, right? And he does a three-pointer, and then he reverses in his...
I was going to say, does he reverse
in the Nissan Micra the rest of the way to the house? But for, like, miles, and then arrives right outside my house, because you can park outside it pretty much, because it's not a through road, you see what I mean? Right. There's no, like, drive, it's a terraced house, so it's like, you park practically on the front door, and he just goes... for fucking miles and pulls up outside, and then he goes, why'd you do that? And he's like, well, it saves time when I leave. What if it's a fucking emergency? And he'll look at you like, yeah, that's right, if it's an emergency, mate, no one's fucking calling you in an emergency. But yeah,
retired osteopath.
An osteopathic fucking emergency, maybe someone's done their back in and there's moments to spare. But I just found it very Lampardy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It feels very much off the man.
It's like half a mile's reverse, mate.
I like that. I'd like to see that.
Well, I say,
I'd love to see that.
I think I've only been in a car with him. We were once in a car together early in his relationship with my mum, and we had a huge falling out where he pulled over and asked me to get out of the car because I was pissed. And he was driving. He's like one of these. He's quite a small man. He's very small, right? And beware the small man in a Nissan Micra, because he will drive extra fast to sort of like prove some sort of point, right? And I was pissed, and we were coming back from some do at my brother's house, and I was still living at home, and so he was driving, and he's fucking driving like a maniac, really fast, right? And I just was like, I'm sort of chuckling to myself, right, thinking, what a prick. But then I could tell that my girlfriend was a bit, like, getting a bit anxious. So I said, Rod, can you stop driving like a fucking wanker, right? And he went, I beg your pardon, dear boy. And I said, stop driving like a fucking wanker. And he's fucking slammed the brakes on, pulled over, and given it the old... Well, you can get out if you don't like it. And so I've gone, how about I get out and I fucking throw you out of the car and I drive the rest of the way home. And my mum's screaming and crying and all this stuff. So it had to blow over. But that was the first and last time I was in a car with him. But it was on that occasion that I first witnessed the half-mile reverse manoeuvre. And I was already fuming with him. Like, I'm there fucking ready to spark the cunt. And suddenly, just to make things worse, he's fucking pulled a three-pointer and reversed half a mile home outside the front door. So after that, I was like, fucking hell, I'm going to blow a fuse here. But so I've never been in a car with him since that day, which was about 1997. But I've seen him do it loads of times. And me and my brothers, because I told, they didn't know about it. I said, you know this cunt's fucking does a three-pointer. I won't say the name of the road, but I told them the name of the road that he did it in because he likes a particular spot to do it in. They're like, what? He reverses that far away? And I go, yeah. And they didn't believe me. So, like, I was like, he's on his way home now. Have a look. Go out, come outside, stand on the corner, and you'll just suddenly see this car coming backwards around the corner at about 40 miles per hour.
Oh, there's a corner. There's a couple corner of corners, involved as mate. Well. Oh!
You should see my mum's house. It's really hard to explain where it is. But it's a tiny row of terraced houses, and it's sort of very closed off. On one side, there's a motorway, and on the other side, there's bollards. So it's accessing it is quite difficult. And he comes around at least two bends / corners at high speed in reverse.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and once I got my brothers wouldn't believe me, so once I got them all out standing on the corner and waiting to see it in action. And then when he gets out, he doesn't say anything. Doesn't even say, what are you all standing watching? He just goes, hello, dear boys, and goes in the house like, what's up? Normal. Normal.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to him, it is a bit of an all right cunts moment, but he hasn't got the bollocks to give it the old all right cunts. He's just like, I'm saving time. Yeah. This is efficient. It's like a Jake Humphrey world class basics.
Does a car not use more petrol in reverse?
Interesting question.
It's like it's in like a higher gear, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not. Sounds legit. It's not economical, I wouldn't say. Otherwise, we'd all be reversing everywhere, wouldn't we? Because it would be more fun.
Well, when he was first going out with my mum, right? This is another bit of car incident that came between me and him. Got our relationship off to a bad start. My mum had an old banger that my dad had got for her, right? Because we never had a car, and in the end she's had to go to my old man, who by the way had a succession of really flash cars. And we never had a car, right? And in the end she's gone, fuck,
you could have this.
He's gone, I need a fucking car. So he somehow sourced the right old banger Fiat Uno, right? And it's very old, but it's a nice little car. And then I pass my test, so I start basically sharing it with my mum a bit, right? And I had the hump because I was living in Brighton at university, right? With a few lads, one of whom was Rod's son, which, as I've told you before, that's how my mum met Rod, right? Because he was one of my best mate's dad, right? And this lad, his son, was a fucking... I've told you about, remember when I told you 192? Like, being the byword for someone just being disingenuous, right? That was him. He used to bunk off from the house, stay at his missus, his girlfriend's, and come in when we were all out at university and nick the milk and scurry off back to the missus, to his girlfriend's, right? And then, like, he'd come around and, like, dial 192 100 times or something when it cost, like, 50p a go, right? So he was basically a cunt flatmate who was always taking the piss and never contributed. Get this. The weekend comes where I've got to move back, right, and take all my stuff with me. I think I finished university. So I go to my mum, I need the car this weekend. And she's gone, well, I'm really sorry you can't have it. And I go, why not? She goes, I need it. And I go, but we weren't really, I don't think we were on good terms, so I didn't tell her why I needed it, and she didn't tell me why she needed it. She just said, I cannot lend it this weekend. You're going to have to make other arrangements.
I think I see what's coming.
I said, I've got to take stuff back from Brighton. And she went, well, why does it have to be that day? Can't you go back next weekend and do it? And in the end, I said, all right, I can do it another day. I don't have to move out of the house that day, but it will involve an extra trip to Brighton. Fine. So the day comes and everyone's moving out of the house. And I hear a voice downstairs and someone moving shit out of the house. And I thought, I'm sure that's fucking Rumpelstiltskin's voice. What's going on here? I look out the window. And my mate is with the osteopath Rod McDonald, and they're loading all his fucking... My mate, who's not paid, lifted a fucking finger for a whole year, or contribute to any of the bills, and has nicked all our milk, he's finally moving out, and guess whose fucking car he's doing it in? And by the way, my car, really. I mean, it's half mine, half my mum's.
Yeah.
And by the way, he'd only just got his feet under the table, and he's gone, I need to borrow your... He didn't have a car... For, get this, environmental reasons. Oh, but he was happy to borrow our one, right? So then, this is what happened 2 weeks later. I'm back in London, and I'm around my girlfriends. And I said, I've got to go home, because my mum said that she needs the car in the morning, first thing. So I can't stay at yours tonight. I've got to go and stay at mine, because the car's got to be there in the morning. So she's gone, all right, I'll come round to yours with you. It's about a 40-minute drive from her house to mine, right? So it's quite late. And she hadn't told me why she needed the car first thing in the morning, right? But I had a strong fucking suspicion it wasn't her that needed it. And it was Rob McDonald on the fucking, like, blag again. Blagging other people's cars, right? So I was like, all right, fuck it, whatever. So I'm driving over. I'm low on petrol. So I pull into the petrol station, it's about midnight, right? And I swear to God this was a mistake, because you know me, I'd tell you, I'd confess, this is years ago. But I've done the old classic. I was still quite a new driver, so I was making schoolboy errors. I fucking put diesel in the petrol car, haven't I? I've filled it up with fucking diesel. And then I've gone, oh no, I've filled the car up with diesel, I'm fucked, right? So I had to call the AA. The AA come out about an hour later, pick me up, tow me onto the back, drive me back to my mum's house, dump the car outside, right? I come in and my mum's gone, oh, good, I thought you weren't coming because Rod needs the car in the morning. I thought, fucking knew it, right? And I go, yeah, no problem, that's why I brought it back. She goes, oh, that's nice of you, and I hear his voice. So, oh, thank you for bringing it back. I was like, you cunt. And I go, yeah, no problem at all, what time you got to leave? And he goes, oh, I'm up bright and early at 6, you see, that's why I was worried, I've got to go to a conference. I go, oh, well, don't worry, it's all that. Oh, by the way, though, engine's full of diesel, so you're going to have to siphon that out, aren't you? And my mum, you could tell, she thought the cunt's done it on purpose. He's brought the car home and he's filled it up. Yeah. So then I go to bed, right? And I'm fucking pissing myself laughing. And I'm thinking, I don't know how he's going to get out of this one, right? Because the AA man said, I'm not fixing this for you now. You've got to get that siphoned out. And it costs a lot of money to do it at a garage.
Yeah.
So I go to bed and I hear all this fucking rummaging. This is 1 a.m. I look out the window and he's out in the street. And he's dismantled the Hoover, right? And he's at 1 a.m, he's dismantled the Hoover and he's got the tube from that's an attachment in the Hoover, like the sort of a Constantina, the Constantina plastic tube, right? And he sat on the pavement with one end of the tube in the fucking petrol thing, right? And the other fucking tube, ever end in his mouth, and a bucket next to him, and he's sucking the petrol up, and then he's spitting it into the bucket, and he's out there for about a fucking hour doing it spit by spit, suck. Spit, suck, spit, suck, spit, suck, spit. And I am fucking laughing my head off right through the window. And my girlfriend's going, come back to bed. You've seen enough. I said, no, this is fucking priceless. He sat on the curb. And once in a while, if you've ever siphoned petrol, because back in the day, siphoning petrol was quite a popular way of getting petrol. couldn't be bothered.
We'd all go around siphoning it, wouldn't we?
Well, yeah. I never went in for it, but my brother was always siphoning. My brother Dom, he was a siphoning a fucking addict, right? He was siphoning nonsense. He always smelled of petrol. And he'd come in and spend the petrol, and my mum would go, "Have you been siphoning again? You set yourself on fire. You shouldn't siphon.
Your breath stinks.
It's illegal." And he go, "I did a bit of a siphon," because he had a motorbike. When he had a motorbike, then he got a Vespa, and so those engines are pretty small. So he's like, "I could siphon a neighbour's car, not a direct neighbour, but someone further up the street or around the corner." And you'd only have to siphon a little bit out of their car to fill up your scooter, you know, like a 125 engine, whatever. And then they've not noticed the difference if it was a big car. Do you know what I mean? So he thought it was like Robin Hood. But anyway, that I knew a bit about siphoning, and I knew that the pitfall of siphoning was if you misjudged your suck, you get a mouthful of petrol. And if you really misjudged your suck, then you'd swallow petrol.
Swallow
and
it.
And I'm looking out the window, and my girlfriend's trying to go to sleep, and I'm going, "Oh, you got to come and look. I think he just swallowed a mouthful." Suck, spit, suck, swallow. I've got the cup drinking diesel out here. This is fucking priceless. And I go to it. My mum, she comes out. She gives me a look like, you fucking sabotaged the motor, haven't you? And I swear to God, I didn't. But I'd wish I'd been that clever, because it had been a fucking really brilliant idea. Because not only that, Andy, once he'd finished siphoning out all the diesel, he had to get a can and go to the all-night garage to get some fucking petrol. Because he'd emptied the engine completely. He had to go back and, in the middle of the night, get a fucking little tank, get my little tank, right, and fucking fill that up and come back and fill it up. I reckon he got a couple of hours sleep, then he was up and out.
Oh, yeah. For his conference.
Ta-da. Have a nice time at the conference. I hope you haven't fucked the engine. Suck, spit, suck, spit, that's suck, amazing. Spit, suck, swallow. Oh, that's lovely. Superb. That's brought back really happy memories.
He probably tried to take the bucket of diesel to the garage and swap it.
Yeah, tried to trade it in. Yeah.
I bought this by mistake and
how
I got a
refund. How are you supposed to fucking dispose of a bucket of diesel?
The canal.
He'd have thrown it in the canal, probably, yeah. So much for the environment now, you cunt. All changes when you've got a fucking conference to get to at 6 a.m. Then, fuck the fucking polarised cap. Suddenly, you're fucking swallowing diesel and chucking it in the fucking canal to kill all those little ducklings.
Oh, God. That's incredible. That's just magnificent.
Genuinely. I was going to say, told that story. It's really cheered me up remembering that story.
It's just at the point of the book where John Lennon suggests that the Beatles could create their own little kingdom. But we'll, we'll look at that
in
next
time. In a cave
time.
Underground.
That pales by comparison. So thanks for listening, everybody. If you stick around after the music, I'll try and put that Batman segment, because that's a classic bit of Top Flight Time Machine. That's it from us. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
think I've mentioned this before. I've recently started reverse parking pretty much whenever I can.
What, so you will park? You've got a driveway up there, haven't you?
I've got a driveway, yeah. I reverse onto the driveway, so I'm pointing out the right way when I go
So
out.
When you leave, do you ever pretend in your head, which is what I would do if I had a driveway, that you are Batman exiting the Batcave in the Batmobile?
Well, yeah.
Because you'd never see Batman doing that thing where you've got one hand on the wheel and then you're twisted round uncomfortably with another hand on your headrest, backing out, looking both ways. Batman never left the Batcave like that.
No, I never do that
anymore. He always
just
goes front ways out. But having said that, you never see Batman when he returns to the Batcave reversing in.
You don't
see
him reversing in, do you? No.
Maybe it's on one of those rotating platforms that Alfred controls.
I think it is. In the Batcave, I think it has got a rotating platform.
So that way he never has to reverse. Batman never has to reverse.
No, Batman never reverses. He doesn't need to. Perhaps he's got a problem. He might have a crick in his neck or something, which means he had to have the platform put in because he couldn't do that thing of turning round. But I can reverse up to my driver with mirrors.
Alfred, we got to do something here. My neck is fucked. I've tried everything, right? Chiropractor, osteopath. Fucking, what do you call it with the needles, the fucking acupuncture. I am telling you, nothing fucking works, right? So either I give up all of this fucking Batman business, right? I give up batting for good, or you work out some fucking way that I no longer have to reverse that fucking vehicle.
And I don't care how much it costs, because I'm a fucking billionaire, so you know what I mean? Money no object. Get your thinking cap on, Alfred.
Very well, sir. I'm telling you, I am done with reversing. That is me finished reversing. Because I tell you this much, right? I reckon it was the reversing that fucking caused it in the first place. Right? In and out of this fucking Batcave non-stop. Right? I've got no choice. I've got to reverse in when I come back. I've got to reverse out when I leave. It takes point. And sometimes, if there's an if Commissioner Gordon's been on about a big fucking emergency, like the Joker's up to summit, right? I mean, seconds can cost lives. I can't be fucking backing out, neck or no neck. So
and I know,
get it sorted.
I know the Batcave is situated on a very quiet road, but you just can't be sure, can you? Somebody might come along when I'm reversing out.
Could be a kid, you know, coming along on one of them scooters, you know, one of the kiddies going up and down the street. You wouldn't see that. Remember, my hearing's gone to fuck because I'm wearing my fucking mask, aren't I? And it goes over the ears. So I can't hear the kids' laughter.
I'm Batman. I'm meant to be one of the good guys. If I'm fucking seen fucking reversing over a kid, I'm fucked. They'll shut me down. They'll take my batting licence off me.
Can you imagine the fucking headlines? No, thank you. No. No fear. No, that's it, right? Either fucking invent something quick smart, or me and batting are done. I'll have to find something else to do in my time. I'll get a fucking allotment or something. This is it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.